You guys, Sky is finally back, but not for long. Join us while we recap the 13 Reasons Why show on Netflix here at AfterBuzz TV. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone. Thank you again for tuning into the 13 Reasons Why After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We're all going to be talking about Sky's return, Marcus being blackmailed, and Tyler's little accident. I am your host, Sam Davidson. We have a full panel here tonight. Thanks for being here, guys.
I'm back. Hey, everyone.
And your name for all the people just tuning in.
Oh, nice to join you ladies again. It's Danny Royce here.
Yeah, and nice to be back, like Danny. Takira Shabray here to join you all.
And I'm always glad to be back as well. I'm Cammie.
And of course, guys, they are in the live chat this evening, and we love hearing your thoughts about the show. Rate, review, subscribe, let us know what you think in the comments, and let's keep the conversation going.
Let's do it.
Overall thoughts for these two episodes, which again are 8 and 9, the little girl is the first one. That was a very sad episode, I think, for me personally, to watch.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know how I feel about episode 9. I know we're talking about 8 and 9, but episode 9 was just my episode, so I was so excited to talk about it today.
Yeah.
Because, again, I know I've said it before, but Kevin Porter is, he's my favorite.
Right.
Mr. Porter is my favorite.
I love episode 9. Episode 9 is awesome. I agree. Mm-hmm. Episode 8, we just saw a lot happening as every episode, but with Mr. Baker's testimony, you know, we find out that Hannah knew something else about her parents, you know, so that kind of gets thrown into the trial. And then the whole thing with Bryce and Jessica. So it was just a lot going on. But I enjoyed it. It kept me on the edge of my seat.
Mm-hmm. Right. Same with me. Mr. Porter, his scenes definitely touched me. And Tony's scenes were really emotional for me, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. The first episode, like we were saying, we find out all about Mr. Baker's affair. It's his testimony first. And Sonia, who's the lawyer for the school, is just really badgering him. And he tells everyone that it's true.
Right.
He was dating this woman last year. Mm-hmm. And we see this such a sad flashback of Hannah seeing him make out with this other woman. What do you guys think now knowing this information? I mean, how does it change your opinion of him? And also, do you think that that could have been part of the reason why she decided to take her life?
I mean, infidelity is one of those things where it's like you can't really know what's going on unless you're in the relationship. But, it was just like it was sad for me to see it because I'm like another thing that Hannah has to, you know, go through and deal with. But, you know, it could be a reason, you know, why. Just I think that was kind of like the cherry on top of the cake. Mm-hmm. Like it was just because their relationship was already failing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, infidelity is one of those things where it's really touchy subject.
Yeah. And I think it was just one of those things that really added to her broken spirit, right? I just think of being a child, loving your mom so much, and then finding out that your father is with another woman. And probably, you know, in your mind as a child, you're probably thinking, wow, my dad doesn't love my mother. That was heartbreaking. And it was sad that she had to experience that.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, just not to get too personal, but I will for a moment. When I was really young, I found out my dad was with somebody else. I was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it completely shaped. I was also a little bit younger, but it totally shaped like my view of the world, my view of men and relationships. And, you know, at that point, Hannah still had the long hair and was still kind of happy-go-lucky. So it was really before things changed for her.
Yeah.
It was probably the first step to much more. And then, of course, there's Mrs. Baker's testimony, and God, that lawyer Sonia is just absolutely the worst.
She was harsh.
Yeah.
Like, she's rough.
Yeah. Well, we see the flashback of Hannah bringing her mother flowers after she finds out. Are you guys thinking that Mrs. Baker knew that Hannah might have known how sweet of her to do something nice for me, but we're not going to talk about it?
I wouldn't have. I don't think, I didn't take it that way at all when I saw her mom receive those flowers. And if I think back, would I have known that she know? That's not something that I would have even thought.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't think she knew at the time, but in this episode when she was recalling that flashback, I think she put two and two together and she's like, okay, that's why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at the time, I don't think so.
I too didn't think that she knew that Hannah knew that about the affair, mm-hmm. but seeing the episode, mm-hmm. it was heartbreaking because now you realize as a mom, like, wow, my daughter knew what was going on,
right.
And there were so many things that you could do in that moment. You know, mm-hmm. Her parents could have talked to her about this. Her mom could have been like, you know, everything's going to be okay. I still love you. He's, you know, whatever sort of consoling that she could do. But to figure that out in that moment. In court, that your daughter knew all along. That's sad.
It is.
Yeah. I think, and I know we need to move on, but I think them having this piece in this show is really important,
right.
though, because, you know, we forget that kids go through, they get bullied. That's such a very serious conversation to have, but there are other things outside of just school that can affect a kid's mental state. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. what parents do and say and express mm-hmm. in front of the child, even if you're not going through things that even if it's a little rocky, you should always be mindful about who's watching.
Right.
And so that can really affect us, as you gave personally, can affect how that kid's developed.
And you know, it seemed to come at a bad time, mm-hmm. obviously, in her life. So Mr. Baker tells his wife that it was both of our faults, we are kind of to blame. They have this very sad conversation and he says, you're just better off without me. And she is, obviously.
I just thought that part was just so lousy on him.
Right.
Yeah. Mrs. Baker needs a strong person by her side. She's already dealing with so much. And for him to come in and into her life and then walk out, come back again, and then walk out again,
right.
it's ridiculous and shame on him.
It kind of makes you think, like, maybe that's his way of coping.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, who are we to say?
Who are we to judge his way of
that,
coping?
I guess.
Yeah, that your way of coping is wrong. Mm-hmm. It just makes it difficult for everyone. I think everyone's going through their own thing.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I know this
not to justify what he's doing, but, you know.
I know this is generalizing, and sorry, Danny, but sometimes.
I know where this is going.
We'll let him speak on his moment to justify afterwards.
But. Well, you know, men just tend to turn off when they don't want to deal with things anymore, and they just kind of walk, and it's really mean,
mm-hmm. and they have no idea. They don't even understand what they're putting like their kids through, their wife. It's ridiculous. I'm not generalizing.
Not
at all.
I'm sure.
There's some men, unfortunately, that were raised in a sense where they're closed off to emotions. They just don't want to deal with it. Men.
That's what I was about to ask. What do you think it is being a man?
Well, I agree with you, ladies. some men are like that. But, you know, we grow up in a society where you have phrases like man up and stop crying and, mm-hmm. like, be a man. You know, that type of thing, it really hurts and causes this disorder of, you know, not being able to show your emotions and things like that in men, especially the men of color here in this country. Yeah. Like, that's what you're taught.
Exactly.
And it's just like, you just bury everything. So mm-hmm. I get, you know, what he's going through, but at the same time, you have to swallow your pride and then think of your daughter mm-hmm. at that moment. And he is being a coward, in my opinion.
I agree. We get a really nice, mostly, scene with Jessica and Mrs. Baker. She goes over there to just kind of check in. And I love seeing them have this with each other. Right. I mean, Jessica does have a mother, but she has this connection to Mrs. Baker, especially through Hannah. And it's, I don't know, I'm getting the chills talking mm-hmm. about it. It's like they both want to hold on to Hannah as much as they can. So they've taken up this kind of unlikely mm-hmm. friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah, not only that, but they also have this connection where they're dealing with men that, mm-hmm. At least on Jess's side, she's had to deal with Justin. And for Mrs. Baker, it's her husband. So they have that connection there, too,
that's
with dealing with men that are kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To say the least. Yeah.
But they're still going to support their men.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there you go.
That's for sure. Yeah. Well, we have some other exciting stuff we want to tell you guys about AfterBuzz and what other shows to watch and lots of cool news.
Of course, of course. And we need help, of course. But AfterBuzzers, look, here at our network, we produce after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from drama, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is absolutely no network that works harder to serve our television fans. But we need your help. With that said, we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. But besides helping us out a ton, of course, here's what's in it for you. It caters specific content that you already like. It brings it directly to you. It brings you your favorite TV shows, or after shows, rather, so you don't have to seek them out. And it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you. Subscribing to one of our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows that we are absolutely sure that you'll love. So since you're already here on the drama channel, you might also like shows like Queen Sugar, The Handmaid's Tale, which I just so happen to be a part of, and Love Is. It's a new show that premiered yesterday, and The Affair, which I heard was absolutely amazing. But remember, we have other channels too, so please don't be shy on subscribing to them. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, look, don't be. They're absolutely optional. So it's easy. Hit the subscribe button now, and for an even easier AfterBuzz experience. If you do, let us know that you did in the comments, and we'll shout you out on air. So yes, we'll share the love. But thank you seriously for being the absolute best fans out there, and we promise to do our absolute best to continue to serve you. Thank you so, so much.
Yes, we love thank you. Woohoo. That sounds like a plan. Oh, no, you got me sold.
There you go, right? So, no.
Like, sign me up. Oh, wait, I already am.
Right. Oh, wait.
All right.
So speaking of Jessica, we have this very heartbreaking scene again with Jessica and Chloe in the bathroom. You know, Chloe goes in, hears girls talking about her, and then Jessica comes in hysterical. She's just found out the tapes have been released. So Chloe goes into the bathroom stall, crosses off all of these things that I'm assuming, are we thinking she wrote them at one point?
I don't think so.
I didn't think she wrote.
Yeah, that's not what I read.
I just took them as her defending another woman because she knows what it feels like.
Right. Yeah, I think she did.
Really? You think so?
Yeah. Really? Because I think that when Jessica came back to school, Chloe just zeroed in on her and was worried about her man, and was worried about the message she was going to send about him, and wanted everyone to think Jessica was a crazy slut, and then it would make Bryce look better. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, yeah,
that's a possibility. I don't know. If anybody agrees, comment. Yeah, right. That's kind of interesting, because I never really thought about that.
Yeah, I just thought she was defending her at the time, you know. But we did see that, you know, this transition with Chloe, wanting to stand by her man, and then seeing how evil he truly is as the episode moved on.
Yeah, this was the episode that people started to really realize that Bryce, I mean,
they like questioning. Okay,
it came out like his name came out in the show as a possibility, as you know, a suspect, I guess, so to speak.
Right.
But yeah, this was his moment where all eyes are on him, and what he does with it is kind of big.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's very gratifying when he first has rapist written on his locker, and he's like, it's fine, it's fine.
I'm all right.
Then the recording of him saying, every girl in this high school wants to be raped, is just playing. And this is the first time you see a crack in his facade.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every other time you think he should be worried, he's like, I'm fine.
Yep. Yeah. And this is because it's just like, it's evidence. It's plain and simple right there. But that was just disgusting.
It is disgusting, but also he's a lunatic, right? Mm. Because I don't understand how it's written on your locker. You're hearing the actual tape that you sort of, it's your voice, and he still is trying to find a way to defend himself.
Right. I think it's the definition of a sociopath, basically.
Yeah. I think so.
Is what he is.
Oh, that's so good.
Because why just give up?
Right. I mean, and Bryce is, the thing that feeds him is power, you know, and obviously when he was little, at some point his power was taken away from him, from his parents or anything like that. So he spends his whole, like, adulthood trying to gain that power back, and he finds it in just demeaning women and doing whatever he wants to do. Yeah. Even using his minions as, like, tools.
Yeah, they're like Cinderella's little mice. Right. Terrible. I want to talk about Marcus, because this was Marcus. One of my favorite scenes, favorite moments.
The blackmail was blackmailed.
I didn't even. Thank you.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to say he didn't deserve it. Okay?
No, yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I agree with you there.
So, you know, he does not have Bryce's support at all. And I'm curious if he did, and Bryce kind of just was a better politician, like we talked about the other week. If he did have his support, if Marcus still would have done what he did. So, what he did is that he gets a text that says it's either you or it's Bryce. You know, you choose. So then he gets up at this pep rally. Is that what they call it? They call it something else for baseball? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm going to say it's a pep rally.
I think it's just,
yeah, so he's there. Something. Yeah, everyone is there. It's a big deal. A bunch of parents are there. And he gives his speech as student body president and tells us some interesting things that I didn't know. Well, first he says their values have gone to shit, and he's part of the problem. Loved that.
Yeah.
He then talked about his group, Enlightened, for enlightened guys. But now he's resigning from that group.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, shocker.
Enlightened.
Yes.
Right.
And he says he's a hypocrite because he talks about protecting girls, but he's really been protecting a rapist, Bryce Walker.
Oof. Throw it out there.
Man, it dropped the mic on that one.
I mean, it's brought up like 4 times in this episode. Right. So, I mean, you know, daddy can only, he's like, oh, we're fine. Oh, this, what's gotten into the school? Or whatever he said. What the heck's going on at the school?
Right.
And, you know.
I think, yeah, he dropped it. But, you know, he protected his name and his family. But I think he would have still have done it if Bryce was backing him up. Honestly,
I think so too.
Yeah,
I think he still would have done it.
Anything to protect himself.
But what's also disturbing is that even after he revealed this, his conversation with Bryce is that, you know, people, and I believe that was the part, but people already heard everything. So was that the.
Oh, I'm only saying the things that people, people already said,
right?
Already said,
And
his response.
His response, right? It was. It was weird because you just revealed that he's a rapist. Why aren't you actually truly acknowledging that? But rather just like, oh, yeah, well, I'm just saying what people are already saying.
Well, that's what's hard because I feel as though so many characters from last season have gotten redemption in some way. They've realized that they were wrong. You know, almost all of them, except for Bryce. But Marcus is just, I wish he had that moment of remorse we could have seen, but he, he's crazy too.
He's really selfish. I mean, he didn't just out Bryce because, you know, to bring Hannah's name to honor. He did it for himself.
Or like she said, like to admit it and try to be a better person.
Right. So. Exactly. It wasn't for that.
I, of course, want to talk about Justin coming back to school. He comes back. It's just a big shit show, essentially. Yeah. It's like a nightmare. Everyone goes, oh, hi, you're, what's happening? What's happening? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Everyone's freaking out. He has a confrontation with Bryce, and it's not good. He decides to buy heroin from the school drug dealer. Oy.
Poor Justin.
I know. And then he just ODs in Clay's bedroom. And Alex goes to find him, and poor Alex
can't turn him over.
I mean, but you know what? I was like, come on, Alex, come on. I was like cheering for him. I was like, oh, this is a bad situation, but come on. Like, I was so in it. But
he's that core.
It's like a that bittersweet feeling. Like, you're so excited. Like, oh, crap, you can use my arms. And like, oh, crap, my friend just OD'd. Like, but I said just like, can you imagine the emotions in that room?
Exactly.
He's kind of his enemy, though, too.
Yeah, and there's that.
And there's right.
Yeah, that was a lot, but it was such a powerful scene.
It was.
Yeah.
They both love the same girl, but he's like, I'm still going to save you, asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And, it turns him over. Clay comes home and is like, whoa, what the hell, guys? Sorry. There's just, like, green vomit just everywhere. Justin almost died. I saved him. Almost killed myself by doing it. But he, you know, they have this moment, these three dudes that never were close before, and they kind of don't like each other, but they know that working together is the best way to solve all of these problems. I loved that little romance there.
I like
it. Yeah, I guess so.
But Clay, then we have Skye. She calls and
oh, Sky.
Yeah, she looks great.
Hey,
she
girl. Does. Love you, Sky.
I love Sky. Yeah, I love Sky.
Really do like Sky. Them having Sky in there because her character really symbolizes like this healing. Like every other character is dealing with so many things, but this woman is actually taking control of her life. She's right. realized that she was in a horrible position, a horrible time in her life, and she's ready to move on, move forward, and and totally like revamp her whole life. I love it, and I just watching that scene, I was like, this is symbolism of healing.
Right.
This is a true one. And I love that.
And of strength.
Yes, of strength. Right. Mm-hmm.
The fact that she has to sacrifice.
Yes.
I'm curious to know how you feel about Sky now, because I know at the beginning.
I feel bad. That's how I
feel. You didn't really care.
She did it. Oh, I'm like,
no, I, especially watching the second time around, I think I realized the symbolism, too, that she, especially in the next episode, we get these what could have been flashbacks with Hannah.
Right.
Yeah.
And essentially, Sky represents the version of Hannah of what could have been somebody.
That's exactly how I looked at it.
Healing themselves.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, I hate that it's not as big of a highlight in the show because they kind of put her away and they bring her back. Like, I think that is such a big part of the show that people need to see.
Exactly.
Like, because it's essentially, we're only seeing one avenue of a circumstance and we're not seeing, okay, sure, you can kill yourself, you can commit suicide, but then there's this other path of not or of doing it and surviving it and realizing, like, okay, there's strength in this. I need to make choices and who I hang out with and and all of these beautiful things.
Yeah.
So powers to the writers because it was so intentional.
I loved how you did that in there.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's not coming back, and I really don't think she will.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She's getting out of that damn town.
Good for her.
New beginnings.
Clay's parents also find out about Justin, and we see, was it you, Takara, that said, you go, I do not trust his mother. She is a bad person.
Oh, yeah.
I did say that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we find out that his mother did give the other lawyer information about Zach and those text messages. Mm-hmm. And she's and the dad says, you're acting like children. And he goes, yeah, there's only one child in this room, and it's our son.
Yeah.
And they get in a massive fight.
I liked how you put his foot down on that one. Because, you know, we see him, even throughout all season one, you know, he's just really calm, laid back. You know, he doesn't say much. And then now he's just been ramped up. And he had enough. Like, and I really enjoyed that part.
Yeah, absolutely.
And someone needed to tell her his mom that she's acting childish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How could she reveal this thing to the lawyer? Your own son.
Yeah. I don't know. I really thought she was going to try to help him.
I didn't help him at all.
But that wraps up for this episode. Before we get on to the next one, we just wanted to remind you guys that you can rate, review, subscribe. YouTube, leave us comments. Give us thumbs up on YouTube, on iTunes. It really helps us out. And we really, really love hearing from you. So please continue to do it. More of you. Please, please.
Shout out, peeps.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so the second episode we're covering is episode 9, The Missing Page, which is Pam Bradley and Kevin Porter's testimonies. Super interesting.
Yes.
So Mrs. Bradley, she's kind of convinced herself that she didn't do anything wrong, as opposed to Mr. Porter, who's just a big old mess about it. So she is being questioned by Dennis, who is the baker's attorney. And, you know, they talk about how she should have told parents that there was a suicidal poem read in my class. But the interesting thing is Sonia comes back and she claims, haven't there been a lot of other poems like this from other children? Which is very interesting because you kind of think, who else wrote, you know, really upsetting things like that?
Right.
I don't know. I like her, but I also this episode I'm like, you're fake.
Yeah, I mean it's a very thin line because you have the, you know, young adults that put trust in these counselors and teachers, and when you kind of, you know, mess up that trust by telling the parents or sharing anything about the letter, you know, it can do more harm than good. I know personally when I was in this situation as a student counselor, we would pretty much just be with the kid a lot more, you know, and and just respond to what they were saying and listen rather than going straight to the parents. And when they were okay with that, we would go to the parents. So I just think the school needed a more structured way to handle these type of things. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it was all Mrs. Bradley's, like, fault.
No, is that something that that you guys did just kind of because of a gut feeling? Or was it written down in book that you waited?
Oh, yeah, it was just kind of like the way we were taught and how we trained to handle the situation.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, then next, of course, we have Mr. Porter and his testimony. And like I mentioned, he's having these flashback fantasies of what he should have done, and they're so, so heartbreaking. Dennis questions him about this missing page from his schedule log. And does anyone else want to talk about that? Because I don't understand what happened there. He took it out. Why?
From my understanding is he was trying to cover his ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, pretty much. which was a wrong call at the time, but he was scared and how things were going. Mm-hmm. That's why I understood it happened.
I think we see it in like one of the episodes before. Like he rips out that page.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He rips it out and just to save himself.
Yeah.
He should have brought it back, you know.
Because that really did look bad on his part, not gonna lie.
Well, and he wrote something on the page too. I took a screenshot, and I don't want to be rude and get my phone, but he did write something on that page, and it had something to do with Hannah, whether it just be her name. So if you're listening, I have it, so I don't want to say I'm an expert on it. I just don't want to be rude, but if you have it, feel free to comment.
Because it was the day they met.
That they were supposed to meet, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He notated it just in case something came back or happened, and then something did, and he was like, crap, I made a mistake, and he tried to hide his mistake. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, he's taking really a lot of responsibility, but the part where Dennis asks him, did you believe she was raped then? Do you believe she is raped now? And he says, I believe she was now. Who do you think it was? Sonia gets up. No, you can't do that.
She tried.
I mean, I have goosebumps now.
I know. And he's looking and he goes, I believe the boy to be known as Bryce Walker.
His word, I have since become aware.
Yeah.
Bryce Walker. So I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Did you all think that he was going to say his name?
Yeah.
Because I was nervous that he wasn't.
I was nervous that he wasn't either.
I was
almost thinking, is he really going to do it? And I knew he would eventually, but I wasn't sure if he's going to do it in court.
No, I knew it. He just came too far. I was like, go ahead, drop it. Drop the name.
Can we just talk about the acting? He is incredible.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And the emotion.
And same with Kate Walsh, too. The icon, emotions between them and how he said he's sorry on the stand. Mm. I wish we could have a whole episode talking about Mr.
Supporter, right?
Mr. Porter.
But, God, we have so much more to talk about.
We can have Mr. Porter here.
Guys,
look, feel free.
Sign petition.
Come on. Yeah. No. Last episode, next episode, I don't care. We would love to have you here. So. Right. If you have nothing to do.
Well, next let's talk about Bryce and Chloe. Chloe is supposed to come over for a breakfast. She doesn't. The parents are really starting to panic.
Right.
We need to get this girl in line. She needs to tell us and the world that our son isn't a rapist.
Right.
She loves him. But she's going through some stuff, and she doesn't come. And then he sits her down at school, and she's a little scared by him, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As she should be.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you? Yeah. I think everyone in the right mind would be. And if not afraid, pissed.
Right.
But, you know.
Okay, God, I'm scared because we didn't say spoiler alert at the beginning. I'm just
I've been keeping an eye on it, so we haven't said anything that's spoiler, but when you're ready, we can sound the alarm.
Yeah, I'm ready.
We've been sticking to the episode so far.
Spoiler alert!
There we go.
Okay, so do you think she knows at this point that she's pregnant?
Oh.
Who? Chloe?
I don't think so.
At this point?
I didn't think so.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I think it came on later in this season.
I don't know, because I'm not sure.
What causes you to believe so from this episode?
She's a very good actress, and she just kind of can see all this stuff going on in her head, and it's not just, my boyfriend is a rapist, but also, like, I kind of saw the, what am I gonna do? Like, I had a big enough problem as it is, but I don't know, I saw that, I kind of saw it.
Huh.
But he invites her to Italy for the summer with his family.
Right.
This excites her. But then, you know, it's like boner kill. His friends come that are just the worst people in the whole world.
I'm like, who does that?
Yeah.
It's like, come on, baby, let's go on vacation. By the way, I have like six people, guys coming.
Right.
Like, what?
Just to, what do they call it? A pity trip? A pity party?
Yeah.
Don't invite me out of pity. Of course I want to go, but yeah, I mean, you can do this.
Girl's never been out of the country. You know?
Right.
And there was an interesting scene between her and Zach, too. He wanted to see if she was okay. He could kind of tell. He thought she was listening to the tapes. She wasn't, but she already has listened. And she was like, it's okay. You can tell Bryce that I believe him.
She's so scared.
Yeah.
Because Zach was there to really figure out if she's okay.
Right.
And she's just like, you know, you can go tell Bryce. I'm fine.
Yeah. And
That's sad.
Yeah, very much
Chloe,
so.
Chloe.
But you
her
can't
own
blame
boyfriend,
her.
Too.
I know.
Like, being very afraid of your own boyfriend. That
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I say leave, but I know it's not that easy.
It's not that easy.
It's not that easy.
I know.
Well, let's talk about Clay next. We have one of those great sociopathic scenes with Bryce and Clay. Hey, buddy, how's it doing? Sorry I kicked the shit out of you, but shut your mouth. And, you know, it's alarming. And later, Clay gets attacked in the freaking locker room, gets the crap kicked out of him by, I mean, I'm sure we could pick out who. We don't think Zach was in there, right?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think
so.
I think it was Monty.
I think he can push himself to do it.
Yeah, it's definitely Monty in the crowd.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then there's this very interesting scene with Clay in the principal's office, and the principal's claiming he just wants to help the kids and that he knows Clay released the tapes. Clay denies it, and the principal says he never listened to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just thought that was very significant. And is he really trying to help?
I think he's trying to save his butt.
Yeah.
You know, trying to save the school, trying to make sure they don't continue to go under fire.
Of course.
This man has no compassion at all. It's sad that he is the principal of the school.
I mean,
he doesn't even feel for his students. Those things he was saying about Hannah, like, she's not a hero.
Yeah.
She's, I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was rude.
Well, this is someone definitely that doesn't even understand like mental disability
or does not understand
suicide. Like, he just thinks it's like, okay, it's just this choice. You made this terrible choice, so let's move on.
You know what the principal reminds me of? He reminds me of what society thought, people in today's world, like right now, what they thought when they heard that this TV series came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know how everyone was thinking, this is a horrible thing to have on TV.
Yes.
Why would we broadcast suicide? Why would we teach kids how to commit suicide?
Yes.
I mean, this principle is the epitome. So whether it was intentional or not, kudos to you, right?
Course,
I think
again.
It was. I think it was a jab to everyone that said they didn't want to, because he didn't even listen to the tape. So,
no.
Well, it's like, have those people watch the show.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what made me think of it. Mm-hmm. Because how can you know when you don't even know what it feels like and you're not even given a chance to understand or to educate yourself.
Right.
Exactly.
Of course.
Well, next we got to talk about poor Tyler. He got excited. He went to a movie with Mackenzie. She's very aggressive, very sweet.
So sweet.
I mean that in the best way. Like, you know, poor kid. You know, he jizzes in his pants. I don't know if you know another way to say it. And he, totally, like, leaves her at the movies. And then her brother, Cyrus, confronts him, and he makes up some story that, you know, oh, I just wanted to protect our friendship, whatever. And then they meet up with Clay in, what is this class they're putting them in? Some, like...
ISS, in-school suspension, is what I feel like it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Either that or, like, an alternate... You know how they have alternative school, but it's not actually... outside of school. It's more like an alternative class.
Class inside
and
school.
I'm not speaking on this because I know exactly what ISS is.
Right?
Maybe I have my moments.
Okay, fair enough. And so these guys kind of band together and Clay becomes part of their creepy crew for just a moment as they're vandalizing the baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
They put rapist in fire and but they see the guys go into the clubhouse, so they finally know where it is and that it exists. Then we have Justin, who is with his mother now, very upset by the, you know, she's upset. She might be a drug addict herself, but she sees track marks on her son's arms. And he ends up trying to steal from her boyfriend again all of this cash. What does he give her? $200 out of it?
Probably.
And goes, yeah, go find a hotel. Mm-hmm. You'll be fine.
Get out of here.
And then Clay ends up picking him up, and they kind of are starting this all again. They're on the same team. I loved it.
I feel
bad. I wonder what his mom's going to do.
Man, I hope his mom gets out of there. Yeah,
I hope she runs.
But it's hard because he's been, I forgot the boyfriend's name, but it's been the provider and been like the quote-unquote pimp for a while that, you know, it's hard to be on your own. But I thought that it was like a good, you know, homage to him to kind of like get her out. Mm-hmm. Because I think if he stayed there, he would have killed her boyfriend for sure.
Someone
would have died.
Yeah, Justin, or his boyfriend would have killed her.
Right.
What did you guys think about this whole thing with Jessica? That she has this new group of friends and she meets a guy and, you know, starts making it. They move. It's pretty fast. I mean, it's pretty, especially for someone that has been raped. I mean, I don't know though. Like, I guess that's not really for me to say. But
I mean,
high
it's just
schoolers
different.
Also.
I mean, different. Yeah, they're high schoolers. Yeah. She is still a kid, technically. Mm-hmm. I mean, and people react to things differently. Some people draw more to like sexual encounters or drugs or whatever. I think she is trying to give it a go, but I don't think she's ready.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm gonna say just that. I think she's just trying to be a normal.
Yeah.
So she's trying to put herself, not really put herself out there, but she's been pressured, like, by Chloe, I'll find you a new guy, by her own friend, Nina.
Nina, yeah.
Look at this guy here. I think she's just trying to just feel normal, it's just,
have to make the attempt, I guess.
And I just want to give a shout out because this was an actual light moment in these episodes, which was her and her father.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Very light.
You don't like them because they're black, and he's like, have you looked at me?
Right. That was kind of cute.
I know. That was cute. And then we have Tony,
sadly, I want to say, it's funny and it's cute. But you know what? Sadly, there are some black families and parents that don't want, you know, us speaking from that world and from that culture, that society, that don't want you hanging out with, quote, black friends because they think, and I know you could probably attest to this, they think that they bring trouble. It's almost like a self-hate.
It's a self-hate,
self-race hate.
So. And when I saw that scene, that's what initially came to my mind. Like, there you go. And then they laughed about it. And then I was like,
But it was hard to overlook that.
Yeah, it was.
Then we have Tony, who has met this guy through the guy he's dating, Caleb, and it's someone who he has assaulted in the past, and he's on probation for it. Mm-hmm. He has his car vandalized this episode, a total breakdown. And he's crying in Caleb's arms and just isn't ready to tell him yet. You know, we'll figure that out in future episodes. Lastly, Mrs. Baker, Alex is going to start working for her. Very sweet. I loved it. Now he's strong because he saved his frenemy from ODing on heroin.
He fell in himself.
Yeah. And she sees this mother and daughter walk by, and she recognizes them later, goes to their hotel room, begs them not to testify. We find out later. It's a big story point. But that wraps it up for these two episodes. We have some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right. Well, we have a little article here. It's from Mandy Teefy, and she is the executive producer of 13 Reasons Why, and she refuses to apologize for Hannah's suicide storyline. So I thought this was very interesting to talk about since we did touch on it in, early in the show. So basically, she's saying, I refuse to apologize for creating a tool that is there to help your parents and children have a conversation about what their kids see when they go to school every day. From 1999 to now, the suicide rate has went up 45,000 a year. And she goes on to talk about the actual suicide, or Hannah's suicide scene. And she said, with the suicide, we did not want her taking pills and going to sleep to look like a peaceful means to an end. And we did a lot of research on cinematic suicide, 27 different suicides from commercial to art films to everything. We're like, how do we want to not make it ritualistic, but feel the pain? So that was her intention. A lot of people, you know, as we know, this show's got a lot of, you know, drawbacks and all that. But she is sticking to her ground, and she's saying, I'm not going to apologize for showing something so real. So good. I thought that was good.
Good for her. Absolutely.
And then, did you guys want to plug the podcast?
Also, yes. So, we just had a special episode here with our very own panelist, Takiya Shabre, on my podcast called Why Wait? You can listen to it on iTunes and Google Play and others, and we talk about her story, her suicide survival story.
Yes, thank you so much, by the way, for letting me, like, sharing your platform. That's, like, really what it's all about. So it meant so much to me. It was my first time sharing my story, which was so big. But yeah, my whole purpose, it's definitely not to, I don't want pity. I don't want, I don't want that piece of it. I just want someone out there, like if you're listening, to know that it is ridiculously possible. There are beautiful people out here in this world that share your story. So you're more than welcome to find me on social media. The link is in my bio and you can listen to it. And if anyone out there needs an open ear, I'm opening myself up to help you find the resources that you need to get your cry out for help. So it's the first step. It's beautiful.
Yes,
that's
perfect.
Amazing.
So,
thank
Why Wait,
you.
Inspirational and motivational podcast. Check
Absolutely.
It out.
Absolutely. And talking on the note of resources and helping other people, of course, we have our special segment of another suicide prevention nonprofit.
Yes. So this week, we're highlighting the American Association of Suicidology. For those of you who do not know what suicidology, because I didn't know before coming upon this organization, it is the scientific study of suicidal behavior, the causes of suicidalness, and suicide prevention. There are many different fields and disciplines involved in suicidology, the two primary ones being psychology and sociology. So founded in 1968 by Edwin S. Schneidman, promotes research, AAS promotes research, public awareness programs, public education, and training for professionals and volunteers. In addition, AAS serves as a national clearinghouse for information on suicide. Yeah. Their mission is to promote the understanding and prevention of suicide and support those who have been affected by it. So if you want to learn more information about the organization, you can find them on www.suicidology.org.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes.
These amazing resources.
It's true, and I honestly have learned so much by doing the show, too, and I hope you guys have as well. That wraps it up for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Next Wednesday, we will be covering episodes 10 and 11. Then the last week will be off because of July 4th, but we'll let you know when the last episode will be. Where can everyone find you guys on social media?
You can find... Go ahead. I thought we were going this way. Ladies first.
Thank you. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Kamisha Latour.
Yes, and you can find me, Takiya Shabre, on Instagram and Twitter at Takiya_Shabre. And I'm still reading your 13 reasons why not, or your reasons why not. So feel free to use the hashtag reasons why not, and I'd love to hear them.
And we will read them like all together at one point, I promise.
Yes. I can go. Okay. Hey, you can find me at I am Danny Royce on Twitter and Instagram.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram, and SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Enjoy the week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.